Revelation, the 12th chapter. We'll begin reading at the 9th verse. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Now in a minute we're going to read a little further. But this is a record. How many have ever been to the scene of the Battle of Atlanta? You know, it's a painting and it's a panorama. You know, it's 360. You see it. And every scene just is part of the next scene. Every scene. And yet, it is not all the same scene. But it's just in different imagery. It's telling the story, you know, in the Civil War, the Battle of Atlanta. And you know, you can get lost in that painting. You know, it's all the things that you see. And so oftentimes in the book of Revelation, that's the way that it is it's just one scene flows into another. And sometimes we make a mistake, I believe, of trying to say, well, this is where it cuts off, and this is where it starts, and this is where, and this is, we make a mistake, is that we're seeing the history of eternity painted for us there. And you say, but these are things that are hereafter, but you're not going to understand the things that are hereafter are connected to things that were. Amen. You know, that it's a portrait, it's a painting. And this here, some of this that people look for this to be an event, you know, sometime in the future. But Jesus is clear there in John, just the day before the cross, or the week before the cross, he said, now is the judgment of this world. And now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And the scripture says, this he spake, signifying what death, that he would die. And he's speaking of the cross, and he's speaking of the reason that he would go to the cross, is because the serpent who had brought man into bondage brought the heavens and earth into chaos, and that it would be his day of judgment, and that he would be destroyed, and they're cast from the heavens, cast out. And so that's where we read the great dragon was cast out. And this is a portrait of that. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. That's how we know when this was. Now is come salvation and strength. What did Paul say? When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But we're not without strength, because Christ lives within. And so this voice said, now is come strength to those that were without strength. Paul tells us that we that were reigned over now reign in life. And it's not our strength, it's his strength. But now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. And what did Jesus come preaching? Repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was announcing its entrance, that he would bring it into being in his death and resurrection. And so the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. It was the victory that he would win and the power that he would take up upon defeating Satan, destroying the devil. He said, accuser of our brethren is cast down. How do you remember the story of Job? How Satan came before God and accused Job. I can't say that I understand all those things. I can say one thing. The Scripture says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. The accuser has been cast down. He cannot come before God to accuse, to do anything. He's cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And that's Christ. That's his shed blood that he shed upon that cross, that day, that salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ came. The blood was shed. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And we always say the first to win the victory with the blood was Michael and the angels of heaven as the heavens were purged from the presence of Satan and from his angels, from their work of darkness was cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In this verse, there's a change, because not only is it Michael the first, but it's those that were accused before God. Those the redeemed. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Had not the blood been shed, there'd be no overcomer. There'd be nothing that we could do. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And I've always looked at this, and I've seen that, and I think at one time bit into it a little bit. You come in, I really want to do something for God. I want to die a martyr. You know, I want to be one, because, you know, the apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame. But do you really? Do you really want to die a martyr? I had a man tell me one time, I never understood this. He said, my greatest desire for my son is that he die a martyr's death. I could not comprehend that. And I understood something years ago, that many people think they want to die for the Lord that are not ready to live for the Lord. Amen. And God would rather you live for Him than die for Him. Because if you don't live for Him, you can't die for Him. You can just die. Amen. Do you understand that? If you don't live for Him, you cannot die for Him. You can only die. And so I always looked at this, as long as they lived, it wasn't their lives that they loved. As long as they lived, it wasn't their lives that they loved. And so many people cannot live for the Lord because as long as they've lived, it's been their life that they love. And so they can't live for the Lord. But these loved not their lives unto the death. And yes, many of them, at the time that this was written, had already laid down their lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and many of them to follow, and there will be more to follow. But I want to sink in that if it's your life that you love, you can neither die for the Lord nor live for the Lord. But these here that overcame Him, they loved not their lives unto death. As long as they lived, it wasn't their life that they loved. And they overcame the dragon. And I want to tell you, that's the promise to the redeemed, that they are overcomers. Amen. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. I read over, it's been a year or so ago, We were over in Romans the 8th chapter where the Scripture says, nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. And I pointed out that how many times as a minister I've seen people that go through things. And when they go through the things, they lash out at others, they mourn, they gossip, they cut, they squeal, they holler, they accuse, they do this, and they finally get to it. And they said, oh, but we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I said, you're not a conqueror, you survived. He didn't say we're survivors. That's not a conqueror. And I begin to tell people everyone survives until they don't. Do you know that? And if your walk with God is just your survivor, well, from one thing to another, there comes a day that they don't survive. But we're not just survivors. He says we are more than conquerors. I'm persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. That love that keeps us, that love that gives us the victory, that love that carries us, that love that made us free, that love that made us new creatures. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It doesn't say that they're just survivors. He says they're more than conquerors through Him. It's always through Him. Do you know that? It's through Him that loved us. I want to read on. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell therein. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Is it time for your knees to shake? No. Because if you'll understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are those that dwell therein. Amen. He cast Satan down. And though we walk this earth in this fleshly body, yet our habitation is Christ. And we are those that dwell therein. Amen. That is the reason that a child of God can shine, as Paul said, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, wherein you shine as lights. Why? Because you are not the inhabitor of the earth that He speaks of, but you are one of those child of God that dwell in the heavens. Amen. You dwell in Christ Jesus. Lifted up by the Spirit of God to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that the Word of God? Amen. And so the woe is to those that don't dwell in Christ. Amen. It's to those that do not sit in heavenly places, that they love their life. And if they love their life, then their life is this world. And their life is in this world. And their habitation is in this world. And they are surviving in this world. But the angel said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. But he's not come down unto me. Amen. If you live in Christ, he's not come down unto you. He doesn't want anything to do with your habitation. The one you dwell in has already put his foot on the dragon's head and squeezed it around. Stomped it right there. That serpent's just wiggling off. You've seen that wiggling off, preparing for its final death. He doesn't want anything to do with Christ where we dwell. But to the inhabitants of the earth, He's come down to you. Having great wrath. Because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out of the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And we're not going to go into all this, but if you read the writings of Paul, you'll find out that that's the new Jerusalem. That's the mother of us all. That's the church. And brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for times and times, half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth waters of flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon did cast out. And this is the attack, this is the persecution that came and that shall come to attack the church of Jesus Christ. But the earth opened her mouth, swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out. And the dragon was wroth with her woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And that's you and I. Scripture says that she is the mother of us all. And went to make war with her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to keep that last sentence in there, which make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I read all the way through here. I want you to see this whole picture. But I want you to see also the connection between how they overcame Him, the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death, and then Him making war with the woman and her seed, which keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it's the same testimony. It's the same testimony. And His attack against those that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ, that the eternal Word, by whom all things were made, was made flesh, and to destroy the serpent, to take away the sin of the world. He did it on the cross. It's finished. If you will believe the gospel, you will go free. The accuser is cast down. It's the jubilee. It's the acceptable day of the Lord. And they overcame Him. And by the blood that was shed and the gospel they preached and the gospel they believed, they overcame Him. But He comes to make war against who? Those that have that testimony. Because that's the weapon He knows that has and will and shall overcome the dragon. Amen. And so He goes to make war against who? Those who keep His commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because He understands that that's the one thing that He cannot stand before. Casting from the heavens, those first believers overcame Him with it. And wherever it's found, it's the weapon that He fears. Because it's the message of His defeat. And so He goes to make war. But then when you begin to see that, I want to go, I believe it's the first chapter here of Revelations. In the 9th verse, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of the Lord and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I often told people, and I want you to understand what I say, when we say overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony. We love to use that in testimony services. Stand up and tell it if you love my Jesus. I want to tell you this. You need to tell the whole world what Christ has done for you. I believe that. Tell the whole world. But Satan is not afraid of you telling the world what Christ has done for you. He's afraid of you telling the world what Christ has done for them. Can you see the difference? As long as it's what Christ has done for you, you're a special case. And a lot of people agree with that. It's what Christ has done for you. It's like not everybody, you know, gets raised from the dead, but you got raised from the dead. You know, Lazarus did. Hallelujah. And you're an isolated case, and that's it. And he's not afraid of that. But you still need to tell that. But the message of Christ is not what Christ, or only what Christ has done for you. It's that He did it for all. And that's what Satan trembles and fears that will be heard, that those that are still inhabitants of the earth, that still must tremble, that are still in captivity, might hear this gospel, this testimony of Jesus Christ the Lord from heaven, that what He did, He has done for all. And it's the testimony of Jesus Christ. And it's the reason that John is banished to the Isle of Patmos. Why? Because he carries the testimony of Jesus Christ. And he tells it, and he shares it, and he preaches it, and he carries it. And those that believe are delivered. And for that testimony, he's banished to the Isle of Patmos. But you see, he is banished there for the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon makes war against those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, if you have it, then it's your testimony. Remember the old song, "This Is My Story"? This is my song. I want to tell you, when you begin to see a person, and it's not something they planned to do, but when you begin to see a person that begins to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, the story of Jesus becomes their story. Amen. The testimony of Jesus becomes when they came to the Lord. I did. I thought everybody would want to know and to hear and that. And I didn't always understand what the Lord had done. But I tell them, you know, this is what the Lord did. And it took the form of where I was and what I said and actions that I took. But as the light of Christ began to shine in my heart, there became a time that His story became my story. And I understood it wasn't where I was. It wasn't the words that I said. It wasn't the forms that I went through. It wasn't those kind of things that people get caught up in. It was the Lord from heaven, the Lord of glory, came to earth, shed His blood to deliver mankind, those that believe. This is my story. This is my song. And the testimony of Jesus Christ becomes the word of our testimony. And they overcame Him. Scripture says, 1 John 5, says, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And we go, okay, You want me to do that again? Even our faith. Totally miss. Our faith. I'm gonna tell you before it happens. I'm gonna get off on a rabbit trail. Y'all don't think we know when we do that. I made my mistakes as a dad. How many of you are dads out there? You say, you made your mistakes as a dad. I've made my mistakes as a dad. But one of the things as a dad, and I believe it was the right thing to do, because, and I just learned it by observation. I saw parents that raised the children, and everything about the children, what they wanted them to do, they didn't want to do, they said, God don't want you to do this. And pretty soon, it seemed like to that child that the source of all their unhappiness in life was God. And I'm going to be the first to tell you that raising my kids, there's things that I was probably too tough on, and there were things I wasn't tough enough on. Now, not very many people believe that. But some of my sons will tell me that. But one of the things I purposed is when I had the correction or instruction or anything else, it wasn't God, it was me. Because they could touch me. They could feel me. They knew that tomorrow that I would be wrestling with them and hugging them and loving them. They understood me. And I'd seen those that everything that was a correction was God. And so, you see the child come up, we love you and we hate God. And I perceived that to be a mistake. Amen. And so, I wouldn't do that. And I said, we're going to church today. And someone said, well, see, that's because God said. No, that's because Dad said. We're not going to have alcohol. We're not going to have nicotine. We're not going to do these things. Well, that's because of God. No, that's because Dad and Mom. And you say, but you, your own testimony used to do those things. Yes, I did. And things I was involved in. But I want to tell you something. One day, his story became my story. And his story became my story. And there would come a day and an hour that they would have to perceive that there was someone more than Dad, greater than Dad, more than Mom, greater than Mom. Amen. But it's not, well, this is the way I would let you, but God or this. No. It's my conscience, but it's what He's given. And someday they would come to understand that. But we have a separation when He says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He's not saying if you can muster it up. He's not saying if you concentrate hard enough. He's telling you what you believe about Jesus Christ, what you believe about this gospel. It overcomes the dragon. It overcomes the world. And the faith of Christ isn't your faith. Because many have great faith, believing a fallacy. You know, one of the remarkable things about the apostles, at least tradition tells us and Scripture tells us a good bit, but all of them, with maybe the exception of John, died a martyr's death. Now, John got off easy. He was just boiled in oil and survived. I'm wondering what I want to survive. But these were eyewitnesses. And they laid down their life, not just for what they believed, but for what they saw. People lay down their lives for a lie every day, but not for their own lie. Does that make any sense? Those men that flew those planes into the towers at 9/11 laid down their lives for a lie. But it wasn't their own lie. What do you mean? It was something they believed that someone else told them. It was passed down. They believed it to be true.
And there are people that in every faith lay down their lives for a lie. But it wasn't their own lie. You see, if it was their own lie, they would have known it was a lie and they would not have laid their lives down for it. And these apostles, they weren't saying it's something we heard, something we read. They're saying, John said, we touched him with our heads. We saw him with these eyes. We handled the word of life. And we will lay down our lives bearing witness. But the victory that overcomes the world is not that you believe something so steadfast. The victory that overcomes the world is that you believe the word of truth of the gospel. And his faith has become your faith, our faith. The testimony of Christ is your testimony. In Revelation 19 and 9 and 10, and he said unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. And you can find throughout this book of Revelation, this testimony of Jesus. John, the apostle, actually uses this throughout his John. He just calls it the witness and the record. But it's the same Greek word. John is using the same word. He that believeth not has made God a liar, because he doesn't believe the testimony or the record that God gave of his Son. Well, here he says, I am thy fellow servant. Don't worship me. I'm thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This came to mind. I was actually coming this way yesterday morning to pick up Brother Surface, and I was thinking upon this passage of Scripture. Maybe it's just because of the outreach that we have and the ministry, but there are prophets everywhere. Have you ever noticed that? And apostles? This world is already turned upside down. That's what I really think. I'm not taking too much on ourselves, but I'm just saying there's prophet so-and-so and apostle and this everywhere. And this, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And all of a sudden, sometimes things just fit together. Peter says that the prophets, he said, for the spirit of Christ that was in them did foretell the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What spirit was in the prophets? The spirit of Christ was in the prophets, and what was he doing? He was foretelling the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And then I read this, and this Christ has come and died, and the church is spreading the gospel. But Jesus warned of false Christ, false apostles, false prophets. John warned of false prophets and false teachers and false apostles. And he said if they don't carry the doctrine of Christ, if they don't carry the gospel of Christ, then don't even have them in your house. Don't bid them Godspeed. Don't say, well, I don't agree, but God bless you. If it's a lie, how can you say God bless you? God's given me something to do to share the truth of Christ, but what you're sharing with a lie, so God bless us both. But I saw that nothing's changed. The Spirit of Christ in the prophets foretold the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Spirit of Christ in the prophets afterward tell of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that followed. And it's the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want to tell you, God is not a soothsayer or a fortune teller or a let me tell you what your social security number is, or let me tell you that you've got a love of your life coming, or let me tell you, how bad people treat you. God is not a soothsayer. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. I don't know why I went there, but I needed to go there. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. If he had not shed his blood, the word of your testimony would be nothing, be impotent. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. My testimony is that Christ shed his blood by the blood of the Lamb. Are you thankful this morning that the Lord from heaven took upon him the form of a servant to have blood to shed for you? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. Your testimony, the word of your testimony, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel, adds nothing to what the blood of the Lamb did. But without the testimony of Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed will do nothing for you or anyone else. The dragon did not make war because they were against them because they were redeemed. He made war against them because they had the testimony of Jesus Christ. A simple story. Caused him to be cast from the heavens. A simple story that a man, a woman of high estate or low, an inhabitant of the earth, if they hear it, if they believe it, they are delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. And all over again, Satan feels that crushing blow upon his head. A reminder. The dragon, you are the one defeated. Want to hear how? I've got the testimony of Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And I want to tell you, even people that have had an experience with the Lord, you will be more than a conqueror when His story becomes your story. It's not what, well, this church believes that, and this church believes that, and this group believes that, and God bless them all. No, it's this is my story. The testimony of Jesus Christ. This is my faith. And Paul says, he says, angels can't separate you. Famine can't separate you. Plague. He said, the sword can't separate you. What's he saying? He's saying Satan can throw everything he's got, and he can't do anything. Why? Because your story is not just your story. It's His story. By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony. And as long as they lived. I'm going to go back to where I started. You cannot live for God if it's your life that you love. And someone can't understand that. Well, I didn't understand that. I never understood that. Until one day I met someone who offered life that was above and beyond my life. Hallelujah. Well, how do we end this? We don't. We take the one thing that causes the adversary to tremble, and we tell it, and we tell it, and we tell it. Amen. Is that what your church believes? Let's blame it on them. No. This is my story. Is that what your preacher preaches? Blame it on him. No. This is my faith. This is the word of my testimony. It has made me more than a conqueror. Through him that loved me.